Oh my god, it picked that up.
Cracking his neck.
Cracked my neck in 8 spots. Alright, maybe that'll get me out of whatever kind of funk I'm in right now.
Funk soul, brother.
What are you drinking over there?
Pick you up. Well, we got some Cinco Oro tequila from Michael Jordan. Some Lagavulin, probably pronouncing that wrong, Scotch. Lagavulin. The Nick Offerman, and then I'm drinking some crappy Bud Light seltzer.
Oh, nice. Can I steal a Bud Light seltzer from you?
Yes.
I got to go to the liquor store before we go to the booze cruise anyway.
I got a watermelon if you want.
Watermelon. That'll work.
Post Malone.
Post watermelon. There we go. All right.
Left-handed.
Lube up the vocal cords. La, la, la,
la, la, la. All right. Are we all good?
Live from
not everybody at once. Live from the Gene Parmesan Memorial Studios, this is the Retro Smash Video Game Podcast. Wherever you are, wherever you may be listening, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Sitting across from me, the man, the myth, the legend, the man that can lead a horse to water and make it drink.
I was waiting for my name, Andy.
I was waiting for you to be like,
what the hell does that mean? I've never heard that before.
And sitting in the studio with us, all the way from the Big Apple, Ari Babble and Sir Tet.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night Live!
Starring Bobby Morgan! Kenan Thompson!
I believe it is Saturday night.
It is technically Saturday.
I was going to say, it's close enough when we're recording this. Hi, kids. I'm literally saying hi, even though you've been here since Wednesday night.
Hello. It's been an experience being out here in the Midwest.
All the corn.
And soy.
Oh, yes.
And soy. Don't forget
the soy. Do you enjoy
soy.
The lovely smell of our town?
especially the sewage plant.
The sewage treatment plant. Yeah, that kind of hits everybody.
Okay, don't take this as a major insult. However, Fort Wayne kind of reminds me of this part of New Jersey.
Oh.
I can see it.
Yeah, I can totally see it, too. That's a problem. I can see that, too. Well, it is good to have you kids here. We appreciate you guys coming all the way to hang out with us. And you drove all the way here specifically just to record this episode. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it was specifically for this, but we'll take
it. That was the only thing they came out here for.
I was going to say. Our background narrator is pretty much going to say, Babble just swung the arm of the speaker all the way around. At about a 90 degree angle.
About 90 miles an hour.
At 90 miles an hour, too. Fastball. Yeah. It's wonderful. It is great to have you kids here. We'll get to yous here in a minute. Ricky not joining us today, so it's just us four here, and it's going to be just you three playing today's game. Actually, you know what? Before we get to the game, what have you guys been playing recently, or what have you guys been up to doing?
Well, you know, much like Weldy, I also stream on Twitch. Ari Babble, that's my name, that's how you find me. And lately I've been doing a retro game that, you know, just so happens we're on Retro Smash, but I've been replaying one of my favorite games from my childhood, Final Fantasy Tactics. It's a PlayStation game. It's not, you know, one of, like, the mainstay Final Fantasies, right? Because it's not one of the numbered ones, but it's you know, it's honestly one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, and, you know, I've played so many of them, but, you know, I've been really enjoying it, you know, going back playing a game from my childhood, but also just, it's actually a challenging game in itself as well. So playing it as an adult, I thought would be like a piece of cake because I played it as a stupid kid, but now I'm just like, oh no, I have to restart this battle. I died. So definitely different challenges as an adult than when we were kids, but I'm definitely enjoying it.
It's the trouble with the trolley from Spyro 2 all over again. It's like, yeah, I can do this 100 times as a kid, and then you play it again as an adult, and you're like, there's no way. There's no way. Sertet, you, what have you been up to recently?
So far, nothing really retro-themed, but it is at least a 2D game called Factorio, where the factory must grow.
Ooh.
Basically, you start from scratch, and you just continue to grow your factory.
Does your factory have forklift drivers?
No, but it does have tiny robots that will take care of things for you.
That's going to be me soon. They're going to replace me with tiny robots.
It's okay. It takes a while to get there.
Oh, okay. Good. I've got like 3 years, so we're golden. Andrew?
Still Tears of the Kingdom. I've literally have 2 hours of time to play video games a week. So that's about it. I tried to play some this morning, and I didn't get to because my phone kept blowing up because of work. Yippee skippy,
yay. Well, you don't have enough time for games, but you're going to have time for this game. What do you think about that?
I'm down.
Yay.
Let's go.
And I'm not even going to sing the song because this is such a special occasion. We're going to whip this one out. It's an old retro Smash tradition. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to play Or Steven Seagal.
Okie dokie.
I know this.
Yes, we played it. We played it once last year when it was me and Eric. We're going to play it again. So now we're going to do this. Since there's three of you here in the room, you all need to agree on one answer.
All right.
You guys are all playing as a team. All right. Are you kids ready?
Let's go.
Yep.
Okay. Number one. Basically, it's going to be, I'm sorry, your category is Or Steven Seagal. So I'm going to give you a list of seven names. You're going to tell me if the name on the list is either a game made for the original Xbox, not any specific genre or anything like that, just a game made for the original Xbox, or a movie made by Steven Seagal, or starring producing.
I don't even know if he produced
or producing. Okay, now I looked on Wikipedia, which of course, if it's on Wikipedia, then it has to be right. So all of these he acted in, half of these he actually helped produce.
Interesting.
Yeah, there you go. You'll learn something today. And he was born in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that's what I said, too.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. All right. Well, you're also not going to know this one either. Number one, Ticker.
What was that?
Ticker. Yeah, we're going to start off strong. We're starting off. T-I-C-K-E-R. Ticker.
Okay.
I know what you're trying to get me to do, you son of a bitch.
Where's Ricky at?
Oh, you motherfucker. I knew it. You know what's funny? I was actually getting ready to say that, but I'm like, no, that's going to make me an asshole. I'm not going to do that.
It just sounds so outlandish. I feel like that has to be a Seagal movie.
Yeah, that's what I guess. It sounds like some weird, like, 24 type thing.
Yeah, I can't really see it as an Xbox game.
Well, that's good. You guys are one for one. Ooh. It is a Steven Seagal movie. A 2001. All it said was limited release.
Okay. Not even straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
The other ones on the list are actually all straight to DVD.
Jeez.
All right. One for one, kids. Number two, Alter Echo.
Is that an Xbox game?
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that.
Yep. 2003 action adventure. Number three, Close Combat First to Fight.
That sounds like a game.
I will go with game as well.
Yeah, game.
Wow, you guys are 3-3. Hey. Nicely done. It is a first-person shooter made by 2K.
Oh,
back in 2005.
Huh.
There you go, before they all got, you know, super cash-grabby, like EA did. I was going to say EA's that's a four-letter word around here. Number four, Dragon Squad.
I feel like that's got to be a movie.
I'm feeling a game, but I'll go with movie just to fit in with the crowd.
Yeah, movie, I think movie.
Yo, it's a good thing you succumbed to peer pressure because it is a movie. 2005, Steven Seagal, limited release. He also helped produce it.
Oh.
It was funny because some of the movies on the list, he actually directed and acted in and produced.
Gold.
Oh, yeah. Those have got to be Mystery Science Theater fodder right there and about probably now. Number five, Attack Force.
Attack Force. Yeah, a game sounds appropriate.
Game. It is actually a Steven Seagal movie. Yeah. 2006, as you called it, straight to DVD. So you're 4-for-5. I mean, you still win, but we can see if we can do better than that. Number six.
You can do better than winning?
Oh, you can always do better than winning. Winning is everything. Yeah, it's absolutely everything.
Just a matter of how much we beat down on Weldy.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that tends to be the common theme for life. Number six, Headhunter Redemption.
That's got to be a movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it is a 2003 action adventure game. Man.
By who?
I didn't write that down.
Yeah.
I
never thought I would be questioned.
Yeah, it's an action adventure game made by... Yeah,
all these like mid-2000s stuff. I guess it is Seagal.
Yeah, it's Xbox. Yeah, it's Xbox and Seagal. So I mean, number seven. Let's see if you can do 5-for-7. Sniper Special Ops. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ops. I'm sorry.
We literally just had this conversation.
And I told you this was going to come up here.
OPS is short for Ops. That's well known.
Yes.
You would know to say it ops.
Right. So when you
O-P
put the
O-P or ope, as you like to say it, even though you put that E at the end that I swear to God has no reason to be there. In American English, there's no silent E's.
What? There's tons of silent E's.
At the not end of word, a word?
Apple?
That's not really silent, though.
Appel. Appel.
Because if there wasn't an E at the end of it, it would be like apple. Like, you know what I mean? Like, apple. Whatever, I'm pouring tequila.
That away. So
would you like to repeat that title for us, sir?
Well, I don't even know how to pronounce it anymore. Like, from the
some oopies.
Well, if you put oops, an E at the end of OP, that makes it ope. But that doesn't make it OP, it makes it ope. Man, you bring East Coasters onto a Midwest podcast one time.
This is what you get for sharing our time zone.
I was actually getting ready to say, we used to not share your time zone all the time, but Indiana decided they wanted to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Nothing new.
Shout out. Oh, wait, no. We're not shouting out daylight savings time. Fuck that.
No.
Fuck daylight savings time. Question. All right, sniper special oops. Let's do this.
Sniper special ops.
Sniper special ops.
I am going to say movie only because I'm pretty sure the original Sniper did not have a subtitle.
Ooh.
Now
somebody's using logic in here for this game. I'm not used to this.
My gut is telling me it's a game.
That's the same, but I feel like it's an arcade game, not an Xbox game.
Yeah, okay. Movie.
Yeah.
Jeez. It is a movie.
Wow.
You guys went 5 for 7. Yeah, of course. Steven Seagal, 2016. Straight to DVD. Okay, I guess I'm the only one. Straight to DVD.
DVDA.
Yay. DVDA. I caught that. DV dopey. OP. You're editing that out, right?
OP Gundam style.
OP. grand. All right, so this is going to be our official interview of our friends here. So we're going to ask each of you one at a time. I feel like I've interviewed three different people. That's all I do. is I interview people. And then we're going to get into probably a pretty heated discussion here in a little bit about RPGs, which is something I have tiptoed around on this podcast for 3 years. And yep, she's cracking knuckles. It's it's go time. All right. Which one of you two wants to go first?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay, there you go. Babel, what is your definition of retro?
It's hard because as we age, like what was new for us becomes retro. And it's more about embracing that change than anything else. For me, I would say we're at the point where PS2 and Xbox 360 could be retro.
Mm-hmm. And I would 1,000% agree with you there. I know.
Which is wild because
yeah,
I don't feel like it should, but we're kind of at that point, aren't we? I mean, if I could easily in my brain accept PlayStation 1 is retro.
Yeah.
I just think of games like Silent Hill, the first one, right? That was on PlayStation. And like, yes, to me, those polygons, the tank controls, in my head, yep. That's retro. But then I think of Silent Hill 2, which just came out 2 years later. So Silent Hill, the first game, came out in 99. Silent Hill 2 came out in 2001. It's hard for me.
I'd still say Silent Hill 2 is still pretty retro, in my opinion.
No, I'm agreeing with you. But like for me, it's like because the technology changed so rapidly at this point. We're seeing such rapid change in technology. That it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, that's retro because I remember being a kid and playing on the PlayStation. And then the PlayStation 2 came out and it was revolutionary in the graphics. But I would say at this point, the only systems that really aren't retro are like a PS3, a PS4, a PS5, like that. Okay, listen, before we even get into it, I was a PlayStation kid. I was a Sony kid. So I already hear it. But, you know, that's my gauge. So the PlayStation 3 is approaching that point where we might start considering it retro soon. But I don't quite think it's retro yet.
Yeah, because I'd always said like 360 games, you know, some of those games are, because my limit was 16 years. Like if a game can like legally get up, go to the DMV and get a driver's license as old as it is, I think it'd be considered retro.
Yeah.
Maybe not like in like the classic or old school territory, but I feel like retro would be a good, would be 16 years. So when you had first said Xbox 360, I'm like, yeah, I can meet you halfway because 16 years ago was 2007. So
there's some weird 360 games I'd consider retro. What's that? Hexagon, whatever that original game that came out. It was like some arcade Hexagon game. I can't remember the name of it.
That was
that one felt super retro.
That was to the 360 what Tom was to MySpace.
Yeah,
it just kind of showed up on everybody's 360 somewhere along the line. Was it Hexic?
Hexic, yeah,
Hexic. That's what it was.
Or the King Kong game where everybody got their scores on.
Right.
The Jack Black movie.
Yeah. Sir Tet?
Well, I would go more along the hardware route rather than the game route.
Okay.
Specifically, when you're talking about things like the original Wii had backwards compatibility with the GameCube. So some of that sort of kind of tells you where the shift kind of comes along. Whereas, you know, the Wii U fully emulated the Wii, but now the Switch has emulations for everything. Mm-hmm. And the main thing is that it's all software emulation now. So I'd say anything that's beyond PS3 at this point, like PS3, Wii U, even the Xbox 360. Because Xbox 360, you can play them on the Xbox One, but they're emulated.
Right, yeah.
So I'd say anything beyond those consoles would be considered retro at this point. Because everything will be done through software going forward.
Oh, yeah, and I hate doing just download only.
What's your opinion on emulation games?
Unfortunately, it's the only way that a lot of these games are going to be kept alive.
Yep, agreed.
And that's the price that we're going to pay, because Nintendo just killed off a lot of those with the closing of the eShops and the Wii Shop and all those. So, like, a lot of those consoles just don't exist anymore.
Nintendo was trying to get up Steam's ass for having that Dolphin emulator.
Yeah. I mean,
For good reasons. But still, it's kind of hard to...
Mostly because it included certain things that it shouldn't have included.
I can agree to that.
Well, then you also have, like, the inflation of the retro market, like, prices. Like, like there's no way, like, I'm going to be able to afford a copy of, like, Little Samson for the NES. Like, there's no way. There's no way. Like, if I wanted to play that game, I'd have to emulate it. Or any kind of Japanese import.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no way with prices they are anymore.
So, like Hello Kitty World?
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that on your Mount Rushmore of bad games?
Like? You kick-ass kitty. Oh, hey, no. We'll get to the back. No, don't skip ahead. Don't skip ahead.
I had the fast forward button there for a second.
You know better than that. Okay, so we got your definition of retro. And always, question number two, you are a burglar.
Oh, mixing it up.
Yeah, you're a burglar. You break into houses and you only steal items that slightly inconvenience your victims.
Hamburgers. You're a hamburglar.
Oh, man. I tell you what. Speaking of, like, I'll let you guys think about that for a second, but did anybody get run through the ringer as much as Grimace did the past, like, 2 months?
Whatever. Screw that purple bitch.
I'll take things the other Teletubby said for 200, please.
I know what I would do if I was a robber. I really wouldn't take nothing, but I'm like a gremlin. So this is what I would do. I would just tie shoelaces together. One giant shoelace ball.
That would be annoying as fuck. I'm not gonna... I was trying to make a... hold on. I'm trying to make a pun about shoes and...
No.
Or...
Just don't.
No.
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 Stop. Get help. As I drink the Michael Jordan tequila. Stop. Get help.
Jeez. Stop it. All right, so they got like 18 pairs of shoes. I guess for me, I have like 3 pairs of shoes. Ones that I wear to work, ones that I wear everywhere else, and my pair of the platypus slippers. So you're only tying 2 pairs of my shoes together.
But you're waking up for work. You're not expecting them to be tied together. That adds time to your morning and annoys you before you even get out of the house.
Are you taking the shoelaces out of the shoes and then tying them into a ball? Or are you tying the shoes with the shoelaces?
That's a good question.
Shoes with the shoelaces.
Okay.
So shoes with the shoelaces.
They're still in it.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute headache.
Well, that's true. Because if you have extra shoelaces around, you're like, oh, this doesn't have shoelaces in it. I can just grab a spare and just lace it up in about 10 minutes. So that's a smart.
But if I only wear Crocs.
And that's a you problem. rip to your sex life.
You just turned them inside out.
There it is. Sir?
Tat. I would believe...
like how we did that?
Two things I would do is reverse all the doorknobs.
Oh, so like you don't... You lock in, like lock outside and keys inside?
And... probably another one would be reverse all the batteries inside remotes.
Oh, that's a good one. Because it's like one of those like, oh, there's batteries in here, but I don't know exactly what's going on with this thing.
It's like, why is this not working?
That is a good one. I didn't think about that. We're adding these two onto our Hall of Fame, by the way. Andy, do you have any questions for our, before I continue and pretty much bogard the entire rest of the, before I bogard the rest of the podcast?
Nothing off the top of my head.
All right, well, good. Get out here. Number three.
See ya.
Number three. What is on your guys' Mount Rushmore of worst games you've ever played? Sir Tet, we'll start with you.
I want to say there was, I think it was a Golden Axe game for the Xbox 360.
Ooh, I remember
and
that.
It was absolutely terrible.
Ooh.
Like, pretty bad. Like, controls, okay, but there was just no rhyme or reason to why this game needed to exist.
It was a. I didn't even know they had a re. Like it was like a re. It was like a reboot.
It was like a
I think it was a complete reboot.
Interesting.
So that was one.
I got one. If I could jump in while he thinks. I don't know why I wanted this game so bad because I never played any of the other games in the series, but I wanted this game real bad. It was the Thief remake that came out in like 2015 or 2016, something like that. It was. Bad with a capital B. It was bad. You know, a game's bad when I think I got to the third mission and I was just like, no.
Never finished it?
No, I never finished it. No.
So if you didn't finish a game, it quantifies as bad.
No. But okay. If I don't finish a game because I'm like, these mechanics suck, then yeah, that's a bad game.
Okay.
There's plenty of games that I loved and never actually finished. One of my secret shames is that I've actually never beat Final Fantasy XII. Like, I love the game. I played it to death. And that I think for me that was a problem, that there was so many side quests that I just kept on doing them. And I just actually never did the boss battle of the game.
I was just trying to bait you into saying, yeah, if a game is bad, I won't finish it. So I was going to try to be like, yeah, but you finished Adventures in the Magic Kingdom.
Don't. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yes. Fuck yeah, you
fuck
can.
You, Weldy.
Fuck yeah. Fuck no, we can't curse on this podcast. Marry you.
All right, so one of them, I wouldn't say it's entirely a bad game, but it was a bad release, was the Lufia game for the Game Boy Advance. It was an RPG. There was two previous Lufia games on this game. Did follow the same general formula. However, due to, I guess, whatever timing that they released it on, you would get to the final boss, and it would just corrupt.
What the heck?
Oh.
That's like some Metal Gear, what's his name? Metal Gear dude who's trying to make a game that did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kojima.
Yeah. It's not that, like, oh, okay, you load the previous save, and you go through the final boss battle again, and halfway through, it just dies. Like, corrupts. You cannot beat the game.
At all?
I don't even know if it was the cartridge I had or if it was just the game itself.
Interesting.
So it would just, I could not beat it.
What was the name of the game again?
It was Lufia for the Game Boy Advance. Hmm. They did make a fourth Lufia game, but I didn't play that, so I can't really comment on that one.
Did the third one like leave a sour taste in your mouth? So the fourth one was like out of the question.
Just the fact that I remember exactly where it corrupted, probably. Just yeah, small amount.
I would say so.
And the other two games, I remember buying them from Kmart of all places.
Kmart again.
Yeah.
And they had PC games that were in like bundles. And I believe two of them, one had one game was Subterra Core and the other one was some shooter RPG type thing. The shooter RPG thing was all right. It was some weird mech battle thing. You would search between first person and going into a mech thing. It was weird, but it worked. It was fun. Subterra Core was an RPG and it was probably the most straightforward RPG you could ever play.
I'm listening.
You cannot get lost.
I'm listening.
Everything was a corridor.
Go on.
So you were just trekking through this entire game. I played it start to finish because I was in high school and had nothing else better to do. And I do not remember anything of the story. Anything.
Nice. I do like an RPG that's straightforward, though, as I whisper into my mic.
And the other
one. I tried to say that too loud.
The other game was a game called Odium. Not OD as in, you know,
the dog.
The dog, but
oh, same.
Odium.
Would you still kick it off the table, though?
Definitely. As many times as I could. It was a tactics game, but probably one of the most brutal tactics games I've ever played. Because it would put a monster in front of you, you have limited ammo, and you would have to try and kill this monster to get to the next zone. And then there's another monster, but you have no ammo now because you tried to kill the previous monster. And it was just that the entire time.
So it was just an ammo conservation game?
So they didn't tell you. You can actually just continue to the next zone without fighting.
Oh, nice.
No.
You don't have to kill everything.
That's how you just like run through the game.
You're supposed to run away because you do not have enough resources to fight everything at all in a tactics game.
Item inventory? Item inventory.
You shoot a monster. It doesn't drop bullets.
That's item inventory. I guess as somebody that speedruns Zombies Ate My Neighbors, item inventory is huge.
I have feelings about that. In a game like Resident Evil?
Yeah, I was bringing that.
I was about to say, in a game like Resident Evil, survival horror, fine. In a regular other kind of game, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That just feels like bad programming.
It feels
like unintentionally bad programming.
Yeah, I can meet you halfway there. Yeah. I guess, you are right. If it's a survival horror and it's like there's nothing, like Undead Nightmare was a good example of one that was like, you know, you only get so much to go with because none of the shops are open. You pretty much have to loot dead bodies, and whatever you find.
Well, that's the main thing, is you can try and run around to loot body, but that's a normal game. This is a tactics game. Everything is turn-based. Oh. And you have a distance limit. You have all these other things that are in the way. And of course, you know, you being a human, you can only travel like 4 tiles, and the monster, it'll charge across the map.
Of course.
So, good luck.
Yike, run away.
All right, now that I had some time to think, I thought of at least 2 games that are also on my like bad games list.
You can't say Adventures of the Magic Kingdom twice. You knew that, right?
I know that. I'm actually
also
not
made
even
a sequel.
You know what? God. I'm going to say, honestly, I'm not even going to put that on my top 4 of the bad games because you can actually play. It might be a craptastic game, but you can play it. You can beat it.
That's fair.
So I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget. Because I'm very forgetful. Another game, since this is more of a modern-ish game, another game that I played and I was just like, oh man, this is going to be so good because I love these kinds of games. You know, Weldy knows, I love horror.
Mm-hmm.
So
she loves horror.
Horse.
So when Call of Cthulhu came out in like, what, 2018?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
I was just like, man, this is gonna be a game for me. Survival horror game? Come on, let's go. Now, I should have known better. Not only does it take place in New England, which just automatically gives it poor grades for me.
What's a Cthulhu game? Where else is it gonna go?
I don't know.
Right.
I should have known. But
Florida.
I just felt like that game. Listen, in Florida. The problem with Florida is you got to be more afraid about the people than the shit living in the water. That's the problem with Florida.
I was gonna say you give one of them bath salts, and yeah, you're gonna have a Cthulhu situation on your hands.
But my problem with that game, and why I think it belongs on my worst games, is that that game did not know what it wanted to be and was rushed. And I think that because it had so many mechanics, it didn't know what it wanted to be, there were parts of the game that were just simply unplayable, especially because it would auto-save you at certain parts. And I was in a certain part that became a stealth section, and it auto-saves after checkpoints of, like, picking up an item or discovering a room.
I think I see where this is going.
Yeah. And it got to this point where I actually was stuck in a loop of not being able to finish the game and restarting the level from the start. And it just, I did that maybe 4 times and I was like, I am so done. I am just done. I'm done.
It reminds me of I think it was a 360 game. It was The Thing, like the movie, John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
But they made a game out of it. And that same thing happened to me. I was stuck in a save point at a boss. And I was like, one hit point left. And so he smacked me, die, respawn back with one hit point again. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm done playing this game forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just ruins the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can only think of one other game that I played. And it's actually a GameCube game, which I've not played very many. But I had a friend in high school that loved this series. There were two games or three games of the series. And it was the first game in particular that she was like, you have to play. And it was a game called Button Kaitos.
Gesundheit.
And it was a turn-based JRPG that had cards as your actions. So that was cool. Like, an attack would take, would be, like a, you'd have a deck of attacks and specials and items.
Hmm.
And, like, each card would have a different value, and you could use, like, three cards per battle, or three cards per turn, rather.
Right.
And, like, okay, fine. But what was problematic and made it bad for me was the level of production. Because every person who spoke, it sounded like one person was in an aquarium. And one person was right in the mic. And then one person, like, it just sounded like the audio, the music wasn't good. And the audio quality wasn't good. And even the 3D versus 2D. Because, like, you know, games have, like, that 2D background, and then, like, 3D, you're running around, and the things you interact with are 3D. Like, it was so bad. Like, you could tell what was interactable and not by the 2D, 3D graphics. It was just really bad. I think that story was good. Honestly, the story was good, but everything else about it really dragged the game down.
How many other, like, video games that basically are just, like, a card game? Because I know you were playing Inscription.
Oh, Inscription.
Inscription, yeah, that one. And then you had Pokemon the Trading Card Game, which I never quite understood that one.
All right. I'm playing Marvel Snap, too.
That was another one. I was, like, trying to think of a third one that it wasn't, like, actual, like, platformer or anything like that, but it was, like, a playing card.
Also your Mega Man on the Game Boy one.
Battle Network.
That had cards.
Oh, I guess I didn't consider them cards. I used them as chips. Yeah, that's a very good one.
I thought he was going to talk about the two that he plays all the time. Slay the Spire.
Oh, yeah.
People listening to this podcast absolutely know what Slay the Spire is. And then there's another one that you play all the time that goes hard for no fucking reason. Like, it's exceptional. The music just goes really fucking hard for what it is. It's a game called Monster Train.
Hmm.
It's epic. I mean, he could describe it better than me, but it's basically hell has literally frozen over, and you're in the train through hell trying to take it back from the angels that have frozen it over.
Weird.
But it's like the music is just, and I mean, a conflict between heaven and hell, I suppose, should be so epic, but like the music, I love music in games, so if you just listen to the soundtrack, because the person who did it, I forget his name.
Jordan Chin.
Thank you. He did an exceptional job on it. But yes, it's also card-based, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool. You guys were talking a couple games that you listed as games that you have played and considered retro as RPGs. And I think that I think you two would be the one that would know RPGs better than us two, or at least better than me. I don't know. Andy,
I'm not. Action RPGs I'm into, or comedy ones like South Park.
Oh, I guess, yeah, The Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
Or The Fractured Butthole. I still don't know how the hell they got away with that one. So your favorite RPGs and what really sets them apart from, like, everything else, and, like, what really makes it an RPG? Or I guess let's start with what your definition is, because there's a lot of different definitions out there.
I think you can't have this conversation without recognizing that there are two types of RPGs.
Yeah.
And there's the JRPG and then the Western RPG. On the surface, you could say, well, the JRPG is obviously made in Japan, and therefore the WRPG is made in the Western world. But there's much more to it than that. Because the JRPG focuses more on the story and the characters, and it makes sense given the kind of the way that Japanese culture includes the many, right? And then there's the Western RPG that focuses on the player and what you want to do, the individualistic nature that we in the West tend to embrace more. You have to take you have to take those two comparisons and just really understand that you're really comparing apples and oranges here. But I will say, and I'll take this to my hill, that JRPGs are just so much better, and fight me.
So when you make like a JRPG, would you consider, like, I know I've watched you play Chrono Trigger.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, that's a JRPG.
Absolutely.
Because I got confused. You said something, what's a story? What's lore? What is that? What is lore?
What are books?
Yeah.
What is reading? What are we? Why are you in my house? Who are you people?
So you brought
this
up
is not my beautiful house.
You brought up a good point though. So a game like Chrono Trigger is absolutely a JRPG. Now, if we look at a more modern reflection of the JRPG game I'm playing right now, Persona 5,
mm-hmm.
that is the modern interpretation of a JRPG. Now, if we want to look at Western RPGs, I'm going to say a game that you definitely know, and I'm pretty sure Andy would know, is Fallout 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Western RPGs. You make your own character. It is focused on a story, which I think is a component that the two kind of blend. But I think that one of the bigger differences is that with the JRPG, the story is not just about the chosen one. Like, yeah, Chrono was the chosen one. Chrono was the quote-unquote Chrono Trigger, right? But, okay, spoilers if you haven't played the game.
What? But Chrono... 30-year-old game?
I was going to say, you've had like, 20, what? I can't do math. Like, 26 years to play this game. It's a classic.
But consider the fact that Chrono fucking dies. And you don't...
I didn't play that game.
Okay, no.
And you don't have to revive him to still beat the game. In a Western RPG, if your character dies, it is game over.
So where does, like, Pokemon Red and Blue stand here? Like, would you consider that an RPG or no?
As somebody who did not play Red and Blue, I'm going to hand the microphone over because I'm too young. I'm going to hand it over to my husband who did.
You know, they still had the games existing when you were alive.
Yeah, and could I read?
What
eventually.
Is reading? What is reading again?
So, as far as, you know, Pokemon Red and Blue, as much as you can, quote-unquote, customize yourself and your rival, that's all you could really customize. Yeah, you could rename your Pokemon, you could do that, but as far as how much interaction you're doing and changing the world, you're just part of the story. They just wanted to include you in it. You're not really special.
So, which is, like, the opposite of, like, Super Mario RPG?
Well, I mean, that, you're just playing as Mario. You're not, it's still a JRPG.
That is true.
I mean, with that, you're just playing as Mario in his world.
Like, I'm trying to think of other, like, dumbed-down RPGs that I would play, because, like...
Zelda, but that's... So Zelda's made in Japan.
That's not an RPG.
See? Yeah. I mean, like...
You can level up your suits.
No.
Yeah, like Red Dead Redemption, not either.
Well, that would be considered a Western RPG. You're creating a character that's inside the story.
In the West. In the West.
Yeah, and it's the way that you're going to play his character.
Are you ignoring the fact that I said in the West?
Yes.
You're already in the West.
So you're in the West, playing in the West, as the West. So it's like
as
West,
it was one.
Westception.
West Wing.
The West. West. West World.
Jeez.
The Western Conference.
Okay.
NFC West. Okay, sorry.
The more classic RPG that the West should know is Baldur's Gate and anything.
Oh yeah, that was super fun.
Like the D&D type games where you are building your character. You're going to participate in a story, but it's your character.
So like a game that I'm playing with my uncles right now every Wednesday night when I don't stream, I play Divinity.
Which is a derivative of a character RPG.
Ah-ha-ha-ha. I do RPG, guys. Even though
because someone reads for you doesn't mean that you're not reading.
Hey, cuz, no, nice. It's true, though. Narrator, it was true.
You also asked things like about our favorite RPGs.
Yes.
So, I mean, again, if you've ever watched me stream, Ari Babble, Twitch TV, Ari Babble.
Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite game series is one of the more popular, well-known Western RPGs. That Daddy Todd made for us. The Elder Scrolls. You're not my real dad, Todd.
Daddy Todd.
Yeah.
Shout out Daddy Todd. I'm going to add that to my list of shout outs now.
But yeah, I mean, Elder Scrolls Morrowind, Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Elder Scrolls Skyrim. These are very famous Western RPGs. They have that fantasy, you know, they fit the bill of fantasy, although not every RPG is fantasy, which we can get into, I guess. There's some that are sci-fi.
Which is coming out soon from Daddy Todd.
Another one that Daddy Todd is making. But I'm also thinking of, like, Dragon Age versus Mass Effect, because, like, that's a... Those are both Western RPGs. Dragon Age is fantasy, and Mass Effect is sci-fi. But my heart really is with, like, these JRPGs, the older JRPGs, you know. The Final Fantasies, the Chrono Triggers, the, you know...
Mother.
You know, I never played Mother.
Oh, really? Yeah. I probably didn't either, but...
I got, like, halfway through it, and of course, I... See, my problem with RPGs is I'll play, like, one for, like, two or three days.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You did not play Mother. You played Earthbound.
Oh.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but there is a difference. And if you say you don't like Mother, the internet will crucify you. So to save your ass, you did not play Mother. You played Earthbound.
I don't care. I didn't like Link to the Past, so I didn't like Ocarina of Time. Let's get that out there right now. See, the only Zelda game that I don't know, that's not a considered an RPG, Minch Cap. Well, I guess you said Breath of the Wild earlier, right?
It's more of an action adventure than an RPG of anything.
Right. But yeah, I did play Earthbound. I got like halfway through it and I'm like, I forgot what I was doing.
Here's a question, or here's a good topic of discussion for maybe our listeners. Do you need to have turn-based combat for it to be an RPG? Because when I was a little kid, my understanding, because I played a lot of turn-based JRPGs, shout out to Shining Force 2, my favorite game, the game that taught me how to read. I was thinking about games like when I was a kid, my understanding of JRPG means everybody takes a turn. Western RPG means it doesn't. And now you look at newer JRPGs like Final Fantasy 16, that's not turn-based at all. So, I mean, I think the last turn-based Final Fantasy game that came out was, I mean, true to form, 10, 12 had turns, but wasn't quite the same. And I'm going to really pass this off to Sirtet because he's more knowledgeable in them. I don't know how knowledgeable Andy is, but I mean, well,
you can't count.
It's true. Dude, I left the bank. I don't have to count anymore.
Barely passed kindergarten. How are you teaching your kids today?
Barely. Barely.
Well, a lot of it I'd say is like generational improvements where it's like, okay, the Chrono Triggers, the Final Fantasies, the Breath of Fire, all of those had the turn-based combat in basically the same type of form, slightly different, but it was still a turn-based. But then you start getting to the newer ones, and they start introducing 3D mechanics to it. I think it was Skies of Arcadia had some of the 3D to it, and there was a couple other ones that I forget. But they started adding more of like the field presence to it, and then as everything started to evolve, they started to move more away from the actual turn-based, and now it's an action RPG, but you're still dealing with level-ups, you're still dealing with equipment and all this other things with your characters, and you can always swap them out with a different one. So certain things have definitely carried over, where you're still managing equipment, still managing, and you gotta go over here to collect, this guy has a potion for my dead wife, and I'll revive her.
My wife.
She's dead.
For the RPGs, they are still advancing and still changing due to the demands and the time, and because a lot of the existing JRPGs, they did feel a lot of grind with them in the early days, and that was a lot to just pad the playtime because they could only fit so much on the cartridge.
Which is funny, because those are the games that are often the ones that are being talked about to the forefront when it comes to games that need to be remastered. Like Chrono Trigger being remastered, you know, the original Final Fantasy series was like the Pixel remaster. So, I mean, it's got to hold, even though it's been years and years, it still holds some weight in modern time.
It does, and with like the Final Fantasy Pixel remastered, I'd say that was a lot more of a cash grab, because they really did not polish too much within the game. Yes, they made it more modern and basically gave you an option to play it without having to be on a retro console, and you have a little bit more features with that, but the actual graphics, the gameplay, that didn't change too much. They can try and scale certain things, but when people ask for like a remaster of Chrono Trigger, they're asking for what they wish they could see, what everything looks like.
Because for a game like that, for a game like Chrono Trigger, and this is where the strength of the JRPG comes to play, that is a fucking epic story. I got a boner the first time I saw Frog cut the mountain in half, okay, with the Masamune. You know what I mean?
Masamune.
Like, that, to me, is the strength of the JRPG. That's why I want to see a remaster of Chrono Trigger. I don't want them to fucking change anything about the combat. I just want to see Anime Frog cut the mountain with the Masamune, and not just in a cutscene, because I want to see it every time I play the game.
Cutscene.
Boo.
Don't you boo me.
Absolutely booing you. Boo.
So if those games were so great, like I know like Final Fantasy 6 and 7 and Chrono Trigger, those were considered some of the greatest RPGs of all time. Why did the recipe change so much? I mean, I know you were just saying like the movement from a 2D to a 3D console, but it's like, yeah, it can look great, but why do they play so much different now?
Because viewers like you who don't like to read and don't care about a story. The market is much bigger in North America. Let's just be real.
That's true. Yeah, I don't like reading, that's for sure. Yeah. But I mean, you have to appeal to some kind of, like, newer gamer. Well, okay, so, like, the newer gamers aren't going to be playing, you know, old school RPGs. They're probably playing Fortnite and stuff like that. Like, you know, whatever the kids these days are playing. You know, obviously they're all playing Zombies Ate My Neighbors, because that's the cool game to play anymore, right? I saw that eye roll. But... But still, I mean, and I feel like that's where, like, is the JRPG as you know it, like, almost like a dead language?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, look at Atlus Games, the people who make Persona. They have kept that tradition alive. Now, do I think the market for the Persona game is as big as the market for Overwatch? Absolutely not. However, there are still people that want to play those games. They are targeted. I mean, they're definitely targeted for adults because they have a lot of adult. Andy's nodding, themes. By the way. So I think he's aware of these games.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'd like to hear his thoughts about them,
I'm
too.
I'm agreeing silently.
Yeah, I feel like they are definitely targeted for adults and teenagers.
Yeah.
Definitely not for kids, but definitely for the 12 and older demographic that want a good story. Maybe don't play like me. Maybe they don't like movies, but I'll play a good game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that there is a audience, and still to this day, a growing audience, but it's just not as big as...
Call of Duties.
Yeah, and it's just also not as marketable, if you think about it, in the long run, because if you are going to widespread market... a game that's all about the story. It's like when they have trailers for movies and all the funny parts are in the trailer. You're like, all right, well, I don't need to see the movie anymore. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, here's all the epic parts of the game in this JRPG. I guess I don't need to play it anymore. Like, oh, okay, that's you fighting Ifrit. That's you fighting Rama, Bahamut, which if you're a Final Fantasy gamer, you know those are like the summons and the espers, however you call it, that everybody knows. Like, oh, I saw that already. Cool. Guess I don't got to play the game. So it's definitely a more cerebral demographic, but it is still there, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
I think one thing you had said about Persona 5 was one stat that blew me away, that the average time it takes to beat that game was 180 hours.
So to just beat the game one time is typically 120 to 130, from what I read. Now, I haven't finished the game yet, but to play the game to its fullest and receive what is called the true ending, yeah, you're looking at probably like 200 hours.
Shoo-wee.
If not, two playthroughs.
Worth the $60.
Absolutely worth $60. Yeah, it's absolutely worth $60. Yep.
I was going to bring up, since we're on a retro podcast, since it's not technically retro, but retro-like, Undertale.
Interest, yes. So, sort of. Because, yeah, you are playing as a character, and yeah, you are going through all of these things. And yeah, the combat can be turn-based, because there's different routes you could take. But I don't know if I really put that under a full RPG. I don't really know where it goes.
It's caffeine-free RPG. diet caffeine-free.
Just one calorie.
it goes under what Andy said. It goes under the retro-like, RPG-like game.
I'm just curious.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, and they're good games, but I feel like those are also made for a very niche. Yeah, jinx. Like, specific audience. Sertet, you got any thoughts about, like, the way the modern RPG is, like, moving or shifting or anything along those lines? Or did you have any other thoughts about that?
I'll be honest, I really haven't played too many of the modern RPGs lately. As far as, like, the Final Fantasies go, I don't believe I've even played beyond 10. I feel like some of that is also kind of being swallowed by MMOs. Because that is another thing where now it's okay, it's no longer your world, but you're still the hero in the MMO, but depends on the MMO. That's still going along the lines of a lot of real-time rather than turn-based. I feel like a lot of that is due to the advent of the internet and everything is connected now, so you have a lot of that. And that sort of kills a lot of the market for retro RPGs. Because people will play something and they'll try to stick to that one thing, which is why we are seeing a lot of people just, or not people, kids.
Kids are not people.
Playing Fortnite.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Because you can do a 12-minute round, 12 to 15-minute round in Call of Duty or Fortnite. And I mean, is it just the universal? I mean, I know I don't have a great attention span or memory for anything like that, but.
You know, going on with that, it's a matter of. As we're getting older, as Andy is saying that he has less and less time for video games,
yep.
You really don't have the time for an RPG if you're going to play it once a week, because now you're going to spend the first half hour playing, trying to remember where you were.
Yeah, yep, and, or the controls for that matter.
Especially when it starts to get to action RPG and you're like, okay, now I need to do this. I don't remember how to do this.
Well, that's why some games have like 6,000 tutorials. Like Persona 5.
Yeah, but when you need to pull it up, that's when you need it. As soon as you're introduced to it.
And if I may, there is, when you're talking about these like young people playing the shorter games like Fortnite, that actually is a whole, in my opinion, as a psychotherapist, is a whole different thing. Because young people, in my opinion, where we're getting to this point where, and even older people, but especially in young people, it's the psychology of the games, it's the repetition, it's that thing in your brain that craves and loves winning, and that thing in your brain that loves the repetition and the sameness, and you don't have to think, you just know how to do it, and you just do it over and over and over, and you get stuck in that loop, and it is so satisfying to the brain to do that.
Who would ever do something like that?
Yeah, who plays comfort games, Weldy?
who speed runs? That's bonkers.
Well, I think speed running is a little different, and I actually shout out to another streamer, Ed the Rando. I was on his stream the other day, and we were actually talking about, he's like, what is the psychology of speed running? But you know what? That sounds like a different podcast episode.
Which you can check out on the Victory Achieved podcast, episode 50, which, by the way, I owe you an apology.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, I owe you an apology for now we're speaking of speed running and stuff. I owe you an apology for, we're going to get this out there right now, for what I had said about your I had made a comment about using the command. I don't even know what they're called. I called
you,
it like
okay,
the game.
You called it a fucking game shark.
That's essentially what it was.
No, and, it is not essentially what it was. It's console commands. When
console
commands. Something on a PC. Yeah.
What's a PC?
You have one now. You just got one. Calm down.
Oh, that's what that thing is.
Yeah.
That thing is scary.
You were suggesting that because I could use console commands, it somehow makes my running or learning easier or something like that.
Now what I had also said was you use it during runs. And what I had meant to say was you use it during practice, which is, you know, that would be no different than if I watch a YouTube video about a game 100 times and try to pick up different strats. That would be no different. And I think that's where I think my lines got crossed, because I was like, yeah, she uses console commands during her run. And I'm like, I got called out big time. And I'm like, no, that's not going to I'm like, no, you know what? That doesn't fly. And that this is my official public apology for that.
It's okay. But I think that there is a difference between watching a video and using console commands, though. Because the thing for you that would make it like using for practice, like console commands, would be like if you use save states. Because watching a video, you're watching. But like the thing about using console commands is that, so for example, in my Fallout New Vegas runs, I will put on a command sometimes when I'm struggling in practice to see where the barriers and walls and things are, because there's a lot of parkour in Bethesda and Obsidian speedruns.
Gotta get up those hills.
Yeah, so I need to know what I can jump on, what is a surface, what is not. Because if you ever play a Bethesda or Obsidian game, just hit that tilde and hit, I think it's TCG. Go ahead and hit that. It's either TCG or TGC. I can never remember off the top of my head. If you're playing it, and you will see all of the weirdness of what is a barrier, what is a wall, and what isn't in that fucking spaghetti code of a game. So it's, you know, but it's more of the I'm doing it and then I'm using it to practice than like watching a video. You're just watching it. There's no participation in that.
Gotcha. So we'll circle this back around to the RPG conversation. So like my biggest problem with RPGs, and we'll sum this up because we'll kind of get this wrapped up here real quick. One of the things that my biggest problem is that, you know, if I put a game down for a while and I don't play it, I'll forget where I'm at. And I'll forget what the buttons are. That is the one thing I liked. And it's not an RPG, but that's the one thing I think I liked more about Minch Cap as a Zelda game than I think any other ones. And I think I'm starting to be okay with Majora's Mask because it kind of does the same thing where it's like, hey, here's what you need to do. You should probably go do this right now, even if you forgot. So would you say for somebody like me or for somebody to get people back into playing RPGs, like if you sit down for a while, like if you turn the game on after like 2 months and the game's like, hey, it's been a minute. Need a refresher? Like, do you think that would help or no? Or maybe just for somebody like me that doesn't really have the time. Like, you don't, like you were saying, we don't have the time to...
Like a Netflix last time on your video game.
Last time on Dragon Ball Z.
Well, I think the problem with that is that not a lot of games accounted for that. So unless you're playing a very modern game or a game that is styled for probably a child that may not be able to play as frequently as an adult would. Those types of games would give you the prompts for that. But this was a problem that Google Stadia, of all things, tried to solve by basically having an I'm stuck button and then pulling up a YouTube video for you of what you should be doing. But
I need that in life. just a random I'm stuck button just like pops up. Just bloop.
But given Google's track record of everything, that was not going to last.
I was going to say probably not.
Unfortunately, until a lot of current developers start to realize that not everyone is going to be invested in 100% of the time, I don't think we're going to see that for too long. But we always have the internet available to us to kind of remind us and look up a guide and be like, okay, I vaguely remember I was here. And that's generally how you should be going about it.
Just real quick, just a quick like couple minutes here, just a couple questions. Has speedrunning killed the RPG?
I would say not. Speedrunning would only kill an RPG if there was something absolutely game-breaking in it. An RPG still has a story to tell, still has a lot of areas to go through. So even if you are shortening everything and, you know, blazing through all the conversations and all the story, it's still the same game. You're still doing all the same actions. You're still required to finish everything.
I don't know. Again, because my friend Ed, he wants to start speedrunning Final Fantasy VII. But the thing is that he had played Final Fantasy VII a fuck ton. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like somebody decides they're going to wake up one day and they're like, yeah, you know what? My next speedrun's going to be Final Fantasy VII. That's a 3 fucking disc game, okay? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, nobody wakes up in the morning and they're like, I've never played this game before, but I'm going to do it. And if you do, I don't know. Maybe we should talk. But I think that the reality is that the people that are speedrunning these games are the people that have played them maybe since childhood, but have definitely played them a ton.
And it's funny you bring up childhood, because we're going to go around, we're going to give you each one answer. Somebody who has never played an RPG before. Andy, we'll start with you. Somebody who's never played an RPG before, or JRPG, or WRPG, what is a good starter? What is a good starter game?
I'm going to go with the Mario RPG, because that's fun and clever writing. And Mario's a familiar character, so that's something they can easily attach themselves to.
And it's getting a remaster as well.
Oh, yeah.
Here coming out soon, so.
Or like Inside Bowser's, one of those ones, too. Any of those.
That's a good one.
I can't think of any good starter JRPGs. I mean, Andy did bring up a good, you know, Mario RPG was fairly simple, fairly linear. But as far as a good Western or character RPG, I would say Dungeon Siege is actually surprisingly decent.
I have a second one. The South Park games is another one. Because I never really was into RPGs, and then I played that South Park game, and I was like, this is fun.
You had one. You were supposed to give one answer.
Sorry. You can have two if you want.
Babel.
The way I see it is if you are starting, we are at the point where some of the best RPGs that will ever exist have already been made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why go for, no offense, why go for something easy written for kid like a Paper Mario or a Mario RPG when you could just pick up the best ones that ever did what they did? For me, I would say, gotta be classic, play Final Fantasy VI. I work with mostly adolescents, and I had a young person say that they wanted to pick up one of the pixel remasters, they wanted to try an RPG, they love reading, they love good stories. I said, pick up Final Fantasy VI. You will not be disappointed. If you want a good story, you will not be disappointed by it. It is a long game, but you will not be disappointed if you pick that game up. I mean, that's the GOAT right there. That's the GOAT.
So I guess we'll go back to you two here, since I didn't take a whole lot of time to interview you before we jumped into RPGs. How many RPGs make your top favorite games of all time? Like, I know yours is obviously Skyrim. That's way up there for you.
I would say of my favorite games, 90% of them are RPGs.
Wow. Mm.
Whether they be Western RPGs or JRPGs, those are just the games that I play. Now, Andy's going, wow, but Andy, you watch movies.
Yes.
I don't watch movies. I don't read books, really. This is my only form of entertainment, really, outside of playing with my cat. So.
Oh, wow, yeah. It wasn't an insult, wow. It was a, wow, there's a lot of games.
Whoa. No, I knew you were insulting. But now, he will argue that his favorite series isn't an RPG, but has great story. But for me, I would say it's the stories that get me. And the characters, and some of them are tropey, like those anime tropes of the cat girl and, you know, the big strong warrior guy and the barbarian and but that's why that's why you play Final Fantasy VI, because the tropes aren't really there and you have incredible characters that you care about and a story that you care about. And that game I was saying, your series, I was gonna say the Deus games. Yeah, the Deus Ex games. Yeah. But they're not RPGs.
As Ari was saying, or alluding to, the Deus Ex games, while they do have a lot of story, I wouldn't actually call them RPGs.
No, they're not.
So that's not really a something that I would consider for that. But given a lot of the games that I've played previously, especially like a lot of Super Nintendo ones, that was basically the golden console for RPGs.
Yeah.
There was, you know, Breath of Fire, there was 1 and 2. 2, I believe, was the better one of the two. And same for Lufia, which both were on the Super Nintendo, and the second one was indeed the better one. But that was the wild thing, is that Lufia 1 started off with the ending of Lufia 2. And then you were dumped into garbage. But as far as how many of my top games, maybe
30%. 30?
All right.
Okay.
Because there's, I definitely do play a lot of variety.
Well, can we get a ooh-ooh?
Ooh-ooh.
No, okay.
Speaking of ooh-ooh, it's happy time. It's happy time, people.
Yay. Do we have a song for this yet? I don't think so.
No song is needed. Happy time, people. Happy 30th happy anniversary to Super Mario All-Stars, released in Japan 7/14 of 93. Where is NXPS when we need him?
Add that to the shout-outs.
Currently at home playing all those games right now.
I was going to say, probably playing all those games right now.
And beating them in 8 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Happy anniversary, Nights into Dreams, the 1996 action game developed by Sonic Team, published by Sega for the Saturn, released July 5th, 1996, 27 years old this week. What are you guys' memories about that game?
Never heard of it.
I believe I remember seeing an ad for it and saying, that looks stupid.
That's fair. Got one quick happy birthday. Happy birthday to Back to the Future. 38 years old, July 3rd, 1985.
Scott! It's a good year.
Very good year. Okay, you kids got anything else you would like to add before we wrap this up?
Make sure to send an email. We did get the one from Mary we read last week. I don't know if she listened to it or not. Retro Smashed Game. Oh, hold up. I forgot the email already. retrosmashed at gmail.com.
And then you two can be found on social media platforms. You on Twitch, twitch.tv/airybabble, Friday nights, Saturday nights, Sunday afternoons. Where else can people reach you, kids?
Well, until Twitter dies, I am on Twitter. but that is it. I really don't like social media.
Fair.
And you could just find me at Airy Babble's page. Cause
he's usually in the
background. I like social media even less than she does.
Well, hey, it was great having you guys drive out here to hang out with us for a week, and I know my family and I appreciate it, and we've had a great time, and Andy, you had a good time as well.
Yep.
I don't care. All right.
Wow.
I've gotten hit with an I don't care the first two episodes we've recorded together, so I feel like it's just tradition now. Well, thank you, kids, for hanging out and being our special guest hosts. We will see you, kids, next time when Andy juggles 18 chainsaws at the same time. And does that with his mouth. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Good night, Canada.
Later.